You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome to the Gym Class, a Thursday edition here on KGYM. Welcome aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac with you here. Presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union, online at DuPaco.com, celebrating their 75th anniversary. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. Good show coming up for you as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour, presented by DuPaco. Kyle Huseman's going to be joining us from Hawkeye Report. We'll talk about Iowa baseball players whose names you could hear coming up in the Major League Baseball draft. We'll touch upon that. Other topics with Kyle. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. Big day in golf. Day one of the John Deere Classic. Day one of the United States Women's Open going on out at Pebble Beach in the Monterey Peninsula. We'll talk about that. Get you updated on Major League Baseball. And, yeah, it's a good day in July, guys, when we can talk about football. It's a good day when that happens. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well. Like to pick up the phone and give us a call. Again, that is 319-366-1600. Coming your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM, right here in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM down south in Iowa City in Johnson County, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And again, if you'd like to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you on that text line or the phone line at 319-366-1600. As Mark joins me on a pleasant early July day in eastern Iowa. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It is indeed. Good afternoon, Isaac and everyone else out there. And yeah, let's talk football.
It's a good day, guys, right? It's a great day when you can talk some football. We're going to do that because yeah, the Big 12 media poll coming out for the upcoming college football season. And we're going to touch upon that coming up here in just a little bit. But first of all, there's no Caitlin Clark today on the golf course, but plenty of good golf being played at TPC Deer Run in the first round of the John Deere Classic in progress as we speak. And right now, your leader is Jonas Blixt, the Swede, with a 9-under par 62 today, which included a par 4 eagle, which is always nice if you can do that. Did that on the drivable par 4 14th. Blixt right now at minus 9. He's got a 3-shot lead over several golfers, including Gerrick Higo. He is in the clubhouse right now. Adam Shank, along with Sig and Lashley. Seamus Power in a group at minus 5 right now, and Power has been done for quite a while. Best round on the golf course as we speak is right now at minus 5. American Grayson Murray is at the turn at 5 under par. Sung Kang at minus 4. He has just made the turn. As per usual, Mark, a lot of good scoring over at the TPC Deer Run today.
Yeah, it's beautiful weather, 80 degrees, low humidity, light wind. But it didn't benefit Zach Johnson, who teed off this morning and shot one over par 72. He's got work to do to make the cut. I know John Deere always hopes he makes a cut, but Zach's got a lot of obligations. I mean, he had yesterday with Caitlin Clark and whatnot. He's on the board of John Deere, the John Deere Classic, and no excuses, but he's got some work to do.
He does. Right now, if the cut were today, you're looking at minus 1, so probably going to go down to 2 today, maybe 3 or 4 tomorrow. So Zach's probably going to have to shoot mid-60s, you got to think. And he's going to go out tomorrow afternoon, which won't make it any easier for Zach.
Maybe not. I don't know. I think most players prefer late, early. But Zach knows he's got to make a move, and we'll see what he does tomorrow afternoon.
Played with Denny McCarthy today, and McCarthy with a 3-under par. It's a very, as per usual, scores are low. You get a lot of people at minus 4, minus 3, ton at minus 2. Played with Denny McCarthy and Matt Kuchar. They both went under par today. Kuch with a 2-under par 69. It's a par 71 course over TPC Deer Run. And I believe Denny McCarthy was at 3-under par. Yes, 3-under par 68. A lot of people pegged Denny McCarthy as maybe the favorite going in. You liked Eric Cole, I know. Yeah, you mentioned that yesterday.
Yeah, well, no, I like Jonas Blixt.
Well, I do now.
Blixt missed the cut on the Korn Ferry Tour last week by 3 shots. And then he goes out and shoots 9-under par today.
There is an Iowa tie-in to this. Every year, I believe, Mark, and Brian Haas lets us know this, that the professional in the local PGA event, the region-wide PGA event, gets a chance to play in the John Deere Classic, and I believe that was Jay Giannetto this year. Not a great day for Jay, but he is out there. Shot a 6-over par 77 today, but hey, he's out there, right?
Great opportunity, and one that most of us don't get.
No. I know they used to have this in the past. 69-36, I hope we answered your question on how Zach did today. 1-over par with the score today is 72 for Zach Johnson, in case you missed that. I know they used to offer this in the past, and it's not only the John Deere Classic, but other events that you could actually go the day after and play the course as it is set up for the PGA Tour players. I know our late great friend Rick Swann did that one year. Went out, actually played the tips, he said. He was talked into it, wasn't going to do it, played the tips for about the first handful of holes, and then decided, this is baloney. I'm going to move up to where I should be playing at this time. Said it was hard. It was just a little bit difficult.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to do that as well with my son, and we had a late tee time and only got in, I think, 15, 16 holes. But it's quite an experience hitting off those fairways and the fairways of public courses.
Well, I played it. I think a lot of people around here have played TPC Deer Run, got a chance to play it. It was in the fall. It was not obviously set up the way they do for the JDC in early July. It was still pretty darn tough at that point and still in very, very good shape. If you get a chance to do so and you're a golfer, I encourage you to do it because it is, like we said, a course that hosts a PGA event. You can kind of envision yourself out there. You get the putt that you've seen the pros make or miss. Maybe your shot was better than some of the pros. I don't know. You could always have that in the back of your mind. There you go.
Or that great bunker shot Jordan Spieth made for his first career victory.
Not tried that.
It's left to your imagination.
Yeah. So that's what's happening at TPC Deer Run. First round of the United States Women's Open, just about halfway through with their first round. Of course, they're out on the West Coast. We get some primetime golf coming up tonight once again as they are at Pebble Beach for the first time. Big purse, obviously a course with all kinds of great tradition. We know that. USGA events. Even PGA, not obviously, it's one of the courses that hosts the AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro-Am in February, but also the PGA of America has held events there before. World-renowned, as we know. Zhu Lin right now from China is your leader. Still on the course as the ninth hole yet to play. But right now is 5 under par. They're playing it as the par 72. The women are. The men usually play it as a par 71 for their United States Open. Amateurs doing well. Ian Donegan is in the clubhouse at 3 under par, 69. She is an amateur from Ireland. And also Amari Avery, another amateur, is in at minus one. Course is winning right now. Only 15 ladies are under par at the present time out at Pebble Beach. Rose Zhang has not teed off yet. She will tee off coming up in about an hour-ish or so. And she, of course, from nearby Stanford, has won events at Pebble Beach, has had a lot of experience playing Pebble Beach. A lot of people saying that she is the betting favorite. And in fact, on some betting levels, she is the betting favorite, despite the fact that this is her third professional tournament of her career. That's a lot of pressure on a young lady.
She's got a great temperament to handle that. Will she? We'll see. Scott, on your bucket list of courses to play, where does Pebble Beach rank?
Now, are you talking about any course in my net? Now, are you talking public courses? You're talking about course that I will never have a shot to play, but, you know, is that on my list?
All of the above.
It's two. I mean, Augusta is number one. Augusta is, that's the pinnacle. A lot of people would say Pine Valley, though, which arguably is the number one course in America. Out in New Jersey. Very, very difficult course. Pebble Beach would be my number two, more than likely.
I'd agree with that. Augusta is clearly a number one. Pebble Beach, so iconic. I don't know what three would be.
Three would be, for me, Muirfield Village.
Mm.
The host of the Memorial. Jack's tournament in Dublin, Ohio. That would be number three for me. If I could just go play anywhere without anybody saying anything, not sneaking onto the course, not breaking any laws or anything like that, it would definitely, hey, all those, well, Augusta, you got to know somebody, but the others, bring your checkbook.
Well, maybe give me the Players Championship or the Waste Management Phoenix Open. I don't know.
I played across the street from TPC Scottsdale, the other course. There are two courses for TPC Scottsdale. That one's very good as well, but obviously not the, not quite the intimidation factor of the one on the other side of the street. Still good though, and a lot less money. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Kyle Huseman coming up in just a little bit. Major League Baseball draft is coming up. There are several Iowa Hawkeyes that could hear their name, or former Hawkeye ball players that could hear their name called. And we're going to talk with Kyle about that and other things coming up in just a little bit. And we'll get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update as well. And Mark, when we have a chance to talk football, we jump at the opportunity. And let's go, first of all, to our poll question at KGYMradio.com, which encompasses the subject matter today. It is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. And they do a terrific job there on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Will Iowa State finish better than 10th? In the newly configured Big 12 this season, yes or no? Simple poll question. Go ahead and go to KGYMradio.com and check it out. Iowa State, Mark, picked by the media to finish 10th in the new 14-team Big 12, at least 14-team Big 12 for 1 year.
Yeah, Texas is your number one team for the first time in 14 years. Folks, this is a media poll, so keep that in mind for what it's worth. But Texas, the clear number one. Last year in the Big 12, Oklahoma right in there at three behind defending champion Kansas State.
Texas, Kansas State, Oklahoma. I am just overwhelmed by Texas Tech fourth. I know the Red Raiders did very, very well. Did very, very well in the portal. But four members of the media thought Texas Tech would win the Big 12 coming up this fall. I am not buying that. I'm not buying that. I think that's too high. TCU, if you remember, 1 year ago was playing for a national championship, is number five, just ahead of a up-and-rising Baylor program. Then you got Oklahoma State at seven. That's a pretty darn good number seven team for your poll, right?
It is, and I know our friend Phil Steele and his magazine picks Oklahoma State as a sleeper team, not only in the league, but nationally. Oklahoma State got one first-place vote.
The rest of the top 10, newcomer Central Florida out of the AAC in at number eight. Kansas at nine, and this seems to be this is seemingly the burr in the saddle for Iowa State fans throughout the day since this poll was released. They are having a tough time with the fact that Kansas is picked ahead of the Iowa State Cyclones. Cyclone fans, what do you think? Is that accurate at number 10? Way too low? What do you think? 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you here today. Got a few people here weighing in on where they want to play. 9015 says they want to play St. Andrews and Bethpage Black, which is also a very, very good course. Cyclone Tim says, yes, I would agree. Round with Jack, Muirfield number one. So there you go. Cyclone Tim, are you happy with Iowa State at number 10 in the media poll for football? By the way, newcomers abounding, 11 through 14. BYU, that's a pretty darn good Cougar program that is picked 11th. Houston, 12. They've been a big player in the AAC. Cincinnati, who was just, 2 years removed from a college playoff appearance. Now, that was under Luke Fickle, who is not there anymore. But Cincinnati picked 13th. And then it could be a really, really long, tough year. I think it's going to be a year where couches are safe in Morgantown, with West Virginia football picked to finish 14th. And with everything going sideways right now as far as West Virginia basketball is concerned, Morgantown might be a very, very dreary, lonely place in 2023-2024.
Yeah, you mentioned Kansas, and Kansas has a pretty sizable lead in this poll over Iowa State for ninth, and just barely out of the eighth spot, and not too far out of seven. So a lot of folks thinking kindly of Kansas. And Scott, as you know, every year, one team, if not more, rises up. You don't expect it. Which team is it going to be this year? Is it going to be Iowa State? Is it going to be somebody else?
I think it's a big year for Matt Campbell. Missing the bowl season last year. 2 years ago, having all of the expectations after going to a January bowl game, having a season that was not great last year, like we said, missing out on a bowl. This is a big bounce back for Matt Campbell and company. You're shaking your head, Isaac. You agree with that?
Yeah, I think they will be better for sure, I think. Because the offense can't get much worse than it was last year for him.
Hunter Deckers is going to have a year under his belt.
Yeah, so I think they will be better. Just looking at it, though, I don't know who you put them over, really, in that poll. Just because, I guess maybe it would be Kansas, but we get an Iowa State-Kansas matchup, so that will be, you know, decided on the field there. I think it is a big year for him. I think they've got a... not when you have down seasons like that, it really affects your recruiting, and then you can kind of get stuck in a rut there. So I think he's really got to, they have to, I don't want to say make a bowl game, but they have to be at least really contending for that bowl game, get to 5 wins at least, and be in the conversation there. I'm not going to predict them to, you know, be contending in the Big 12 or anything like that. I think that is too much, but I think you got to at least be in the conversation of getting to a bowl game.
What would another 4 or 5 win season mean for Iowa State football? With everything, with the new construction going on, with Cyclone Village going on, and to miss a bowl game for a second consecutive year, that...
it'd be brutal.
That would be bad.
It would be bad. I think you could see a lot of... I don't want to say give up, but I think you could see a lot of players kind of enter the transfer portal that could be key players for them because they don't think that they could win at that location. I think I would disagree. I think you can definitely win under Matt Campbell, and he has shown an ability to, you know, develop players. I think one thing that Matt Campbell will definitely hang his hat on is he got a first-round pick, and Iowa State hasn't had a first-round pick since, you know, the 70s. So
Mark knows the last guy.
It was Amundsen. I can't remember.
Yes. You know it too. Look at this.
So I think that is one thing that he can kind of point to in a season that was a little bit down. He can say, well, at least we can two recruits. I mean, he can point out that they were able to get a first round pick and he can help develop them. But I don't know. And you never know, but I don't know if they'll get a first-round pick next year. So if they have a down year and no high draft picks, I don't know. It would really affect the recruiting trail for the Cyclones.
I like Kansas.
Yeah, they have they seem
dynamic. Maybe the best quarterback in the Big 12, perhaps.
They had four. I think Spencer said they have 4 preseason all Big 12 team members.
Yes.
So,
and if they stayed healthy last year, I think Kansas would have won 8 or 9 games. And you can't – Chris Klieman's done a great job at K-State. Texas, first time they've been picked to be the top dog in a long time. But how many times have we had the, hey, Texas is going to be great this year conversation, and then Texas finishes 7-5, 6-6. It's happened a lot. I think it's a big year for Oklahoma, too. And Venables, because they fell down quite a bit last year. Going to be a good Big 12. That is a good conference. Good conference. Cyclone Tim says he agrees. That's about where I'd put Iowa State until they clean up the mistakes that have plagued them the last few years. 1805 is questioning, are Iowa State develops players?
Yeah,
I gotta say yes.
Under Matt Campbell, I think you've seen the wide receiver room produce some NFL level players.
Brees Hall,
running backs, David Montgomery. You saw Will McDonald. I think you can say they develop players, maybe not to first round picks or anything, but you can't hold everything to, you know, first round pick standards. If you're getting them to the NFL, that counts as developing the players.
Cincinnati.
Let me pose this question.
Go ahead.
Does Hunter Deckers have a short leash?
Yes.
Knowing that J.J. Cole is looming in the background.
Yes. Now, and there are still rumors to the effect, and we have yet to even talk about this going down the line, as far as there are rumors that the gambling situation in Iowa State, Hunter Deckers is one of those that has been at least tied in with that. Again, those are just rumors. There's nothing solid to that at all. Nothing solid to that at all. But, you know, you lose your starting quarterback. You put in somebody that has never been under center in a college game before. If that does happen to come around.
Particularly in a brand new offense, too. I'm sure it's not going to be completely different, but it is, you know, a new offensive system. So making that big of a change to you know, your system and the quarterback would be a tough adjustment going into the next season.
Cincinnati at 13, I think that's way low. way low.
It's hard to really project when you have a brand new head coach. It's the same thing we see with, you know, like Nebraska. I just don't know where what to do with them because, you know, at one hand, Nebraska hasn't been great, but they have a new, you know, great head coach coming in. So they could be fantastic, but they also could, you know, have a 4-win season. I just don't know.
Luke Fickell brought in some good talent. Good talent. It's going to be fun. Like I said, Big 12 next year, enjoy it for the 14-team league with Texas and Oklahoma for 1 year because football is going to be good, and boy, oh boy, wait till the basketball season. 319-366-1600 here at 3:30. Kyle Huseman's going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit about the Major League Baseball draft and Iowa Hawkeye, former Hawkeye baseball players that could hear their name called. But before we do that, we need to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. And they're open at 4 o'clock each and every day. Check them out. Eat local. Try their burgers and fries made fresh daily. And check out the fully stocked bar and bring the whole family in. And big thanks to Dave. I understand he brought in pie today. Did you have any of the pie yet, Isaac?
No, I didn't even know he brought it in until Spencer had already started his show, and I can't leave, you know, the producer chair while one of the shows is going on.
I give you permission to walk back and get a piece of pie here in a little bit.
I might make do of that when you're interviewing Kyle.
And I guarantee you Dave is getting ready for the Emil's Hideaway pick six because he wants that title back. He almost came from a dreadful start to win it last year, but he wants it back this year. All right, Mark, what do we got on the scoreboard?
It's a short one today. The Cedar Rapids Colonels reporting a 35% increase in attendance, and they are crediting good weather for that. I know they had well over 4,000 people for the July 4th game, so... that's really good to see. Jonas Blix continues to lead at the John Deere Classic. Earlier, he shot 9 under par, 62, and leads by 3. On the MLB scoreboard today, one final in the books. Detroit blanked Oakland 9-0. Washington leading Cincinnati 2-1, top 6. And in the bottom of the 7th, the Brewers leading the Cubs 5-3.
5-3. Brewers got a man on right now as well in the bottom of the 7th inning, and we'll keep you updated on that particular ball game. 90-49 before we head to a break here. The schedule makers did Iowa State no favors with games at Norman and in Waco and finishing with games in Provo, Austin, and Manhattan. It's just, tell you what, that is a tough league. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Big 12, I think going forward, now that everything is squared away as far as their media right situation is concerned, even without Texas and Oklahoma, that is still going to be a very, very good league. And you're going to have the balance. I think the Big 12, top to bottom, may be the most balanced Power 5, can we still say, Power Conference in all of sports.
We're going to find out, and the texter is quite right. And possibly that is the one of the reasons Iowa State is number 10 in the media preseason poll.
Just another reason how Iowa State, much like last year and every year, going to be very, very important for both teams this year. Speaking of Iowa, we're going to talk to Kyle Huseman coming up next, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Major League Baseball draft, which former Hawkeyes are going to get their names called, and we will do that when we return here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class presented by Dupaco Community Credit Union. Back with more after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have plenty of sunshine with temperatures in the mid to upper 70s and nice low humidity. Tonight we'll have mostly clear skies and drop down into the low 50s. Tomorrow, clouds will start to build in throughout the morning and temperatures will be in the mid to upper 70s once again. There's a chance for a few spotty showers in the afternoon. Then over the weekend, we'll have plenty of sunshine. Temperatures will be in the low 80s on Saturday and mid 80s on Sunday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier baseball team wrapped up their regular season with a doubleheader at Linmar on the road Monday. Xavier fell 3-2 in Game 1 and 8-4 in Game 2. The 16 and 18 Saints will host Keokuk in the Class 3A Region 5 Substate First Round tomorrow night at 7. The Xavier softball team split a pair with Dubuque Wallert last Friday to take second place in the MVC Mississippi Division. The Saints won the opener 5-4, but fell short in the nightcap 7-4. The Saints also got a win and a loss in a triangular with Ankeny and West Delaware on Monday afternoon. The Saints lost by one run to Ankeny in the first game, then shut out West Delaware 4-0 in the second.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever with $14 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. Enter Nevada, play from anywhere. Two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million, where you make five picks against the spread each week with 100% payback. Or join Circa Survivor, where you select one team each week straight up. Last the longest to win it all. $14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
Get ready for summer with 11% off everything now at Menards. Attract a wide variety of your favorite birds to your feeder with quality KT bird food blends. KT premium blends offer superior nutrition that will keep them coming back. Right now, pick up a 14-pound bag of Midwest Blend wild bird food for only $20.99 after 11% off. Good through July 9th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back with you on the Gym Class Thursday edition at 3:37. Thanks for joining us. Do appreciate it as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Todd Brommelkamp show from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Isaac Mark has gone to get some pie. I gave him permission. Not that he needed my permission, but he's going to get some pie.
Guaranteed it's good.
I guarantee it's darn good. Darn good. Thanks to Dave and everybody at Emil's for bringing that over. Kyle Huseman, kind enough to join us here from Hawkeye Report, covers, among other things, Iowa baseball. And it was a great season, obviously. We talked with Kyle a little bit earlier on during the baseball season, and now we get ready to, good and bad, because it's good that Rick Heller's program is going to hear some names called again for the Major League Baseball draft, but it's always sad because they are leaving the program and going to the next level out there. And give him a follow at on Twitter at Huseman Kyle, and he joins us on a Thursday. Kyle, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And it is a catch-22 situation for not only Rick Heller but all college baseball coaches, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you want a program that's consistently sending players to pro baseball, whether it's the minor league or if they can make it up to the MLB. Obviously, that helps with recruiting when you can show that you have guys that are making it to the next level. But as you mentioned, yeah, whenever you see names leave for the pros, it's because they're good. It's players that you relied on in your season, your past several seasons. So it's always tough to see those big parts of your program leave. But yeah, really, really nice to see that success happen for Rick Heller's team.
Kyle, I think the last time Jeff Johnson gave his minor league report, I counted 7 or 8 Iowa pitchers listed, My question to you is that recruiting, development, or both?
Yeah, I think part of it comes in the recruiting, obviously finding the right guys, guys that are successful in high school, maybe not the highly recruited guys, but guys where you see the potential in them. And then Robin Lund, who was the pitching coach before Sean McGrath, who just finished his first season. Robin Lund did a fantastic job with the development of pitchers. You talk about a guy like Trent Wallace is an in-state guy, played really well at Iowa and got the chance in the majors. You talk about Adam Majors, another guy who's playing really well in the Midwest League. He's been playing against some of the teams here in Iowa, the Quad Cities team, Cedar Rapids. He's a guy that they pulled out of the transfer portal, a guy from South Dakota State. They saw the potential that he had. So I think a lot of it comes down to development with, you know, Robin Lund before and now Sean McGrath is kind of taking it over. But another big part of it is, you know, kind of going through knowing you're probably not going to get the highly rated guys that are going to go to the SEC or the ACC. But finding a guy that has, you know, a good pitch or two, that was good in high school, a lot of times from Iowa, and then just, you know, building on that and adding another pitch or working on the pitches he has. So I think it's a little bit of both, but when you're not in the ACC or the SEC, it comes down to can you develop players that aren't as highly recruited, and Iowa does a really good job with that with their pitchers.
Really have. And well, let's talk about, before we get to comings and goings for Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes looking into 2024, let's talk about some of the guys that could hear their names or will hear their names at some point anyway in the upcoming Major League Baseball draft. And top couple that are going to go earliest, in your opinion anyway, who would those be?
Yeah, I think the first name to get called is going to be Keaton Anthony. I know the end of his Iowa career didn't really go the way that he probably planned or fans planned with the way this gambling situation played out. Missed the last 18 games of the season. But he's a very good baseball player. Showed it over his 2 years as a redshirt freshman, winning freshman of the year in the Big Ten. And then, you know, this past season, he didn't play a full season, you know, 43 games, but was still almost batting .400, had an over .500 on base percentage. At the time, led the country in doubles with 22. It's hard to ignore what he did on the field through two seasons. Had 44 doubles in 2 years, 23 home runs. And there were numbers that he improved on this year, whether it was slugging percentage, on base percentage went up, his strikeout rate went down. And the thing that stands out about Keaton is his ability to, you know, as a power hitter, he's not just solely hitting it to left field, pulling the ball. He's able to put it in the right center for a double or you know, hit it over the right field wall for a home run, which really stands out about him as a power hitter. I see him being the first Hawkeye off the board. The first day of the draft is just the first two rounds. So I see him going on day two. I think rounds 4 to 7 is kind of the area that he's probably going to be going in. It'll be interesting to see, because I know last year he got offered in the 7th round, decided to come back, thought he could improve upon that. It'll be interesting to see if teams are maybe scared away a little bit by the gambling situation. Personally, I didn't think it's a big deal that teams should be worried about. But I think that rounds 4 to 7 is probably where it'll go. I think it'll probably be more in the middle of that. It'll kind of come down to that point, how much does the team like him. And then the second guy off the board to me is going to be Ty Langenberg. Really kind of came on as a sophomore 2 years ago, was the Sunday starter, had a really good season, had a 7-2 record, and then comes into this year as, you know, the preseason Big Ten pitcher of the year. Didn't necessarily have the year that he wanted the first half of the year. His teams were able to barrel him up and get some hits. Figured it out, though, in the second half of the season. His last, couple of months, four of his last six starts, he went 6-plus innings. Had a really good start in the NCAA tournament against North Carolina. He's a guy that I could see going in that day two as well later, maybe around 7 to 10. It for him, when he gets to a major league team, it's going to be about, can he start missing some barrels, working on refining his pitch arsenal, because, when Ty Langenberg's at his best, he's a really good pitcher. We saw it more of his sophomore year and then, like I said, late in this year. I think if he would have had a similar year to his sophomore year this year, a really consistent year where he was a consistent starter, we could have seen him in that 5 to 6 round range. He throws a lot of pitches for strikes. Over his 3 years at Iowa, he threw 63% of his pitches for strikes, which is really good. So those two, Keaton Anthony and Ty Langenberg, to me, are going to be those first two guys off the board, probably day two guys.
The next couple guys, Kyle, as you list anyway, Will Christopherson has a terrific slider. And then Brendan DeRiggi, who made the most of his transfer year. What are their prospects?
Yeah, I think these become more interesting for Brendan DeRiggi because he's a grad transfer, so he's done with his college eligibility, which handcuffs, you know, where he can go in the draft a bit with, you know, the way teams can offer him, you know, the money that they can offer him. And same with Will Christopherson, you know, he's played 5 years in college, so once you start to get up there in age, it makes it tougher for where you can go because teams can really dictate how much they give you because you're not going to, you know, Brendan DeRiggi can't turn down a deal. Will Christopherson is kind of at that same spot where, you know, you could come back for a sixth year, but I mean, they kind of have to go at this point. So it really kind of comes down to how much does a team like Will Christopherson? How much does a team like Brendan DeRiggi? We saw it last year. Dylan Nedved was in the same boat where he was out of his college eligibility was over. And he got drafted in the ninth round, really, really good spot in the draft for him. But, you know, he was signed for $150,000 less than that slot bonus was. Because the San Diego Padres really liked him as a prospect, but they knew that Dylan Nedved couldn't turn down the offer they gave him. They offered him way less than that slot bonus gave. And I could see that kind of being the same way for Will Christopherson or Brendan DeRiggi, where a team really likes them, so they kind of move up into the higher rounds to get them, but they get signed for way less than that slot bonus is. You mentioned the slider for Will Christopherson. It's up there with MLB-grade sliders. He was injured a little bit a couple of years ago, was on and off that year, still had really good strikeout numbers, came in this year and was a pretty dominant arm for Iowa, the bullpen. A 3.55 ERA, but like I mentioned in my preview article that I posted, you know, he allowed 13 runs on the season, and six of them came in a two-thirds of an inning span. He only allowed seven runs over the other 32 innings, so was really good for Iowa this season. 59 strikeouts in 33 innings is pretty impressive. But again, I think if he would have stayed healthy and had this type of year, a year ago, we could have seen him, you know, be a highly rated prospect. But the fact that he's been in college for 5 years kind of changes things a little bit. Just because of how good his slider is and how it grades out, you know, being an MLB grade slider, I could see him going in that late day two range, kind of similar to a Dylan Nedved where a team goes up because they really like what they see from him. Otherwise he's probably going to be an early day three guy. You mentioned Brendan DeRiggi, a guy that transferred from Wofford after 4 years there, was the first team All-SoCon selection in his senior year there, decided to come to Iowa for a grad transfer year, and was really good. Had his best year of his 5 years in college, led Iowa in average, home runs, had 19 doubles. His walk rate was second best on the team. The problem for him is, like I said, he's just out of college eligibility. So a team can, you know, wherever they pick him, they can basically, you know, give him a little bit of money here and say, I mean, you have to accept this. And that's just kind of the way it is for some of these guys. But for Brendan DeRiggi, he's a very professional hitter. He's always going to give you a solid at bat. He can play outfield. He did that at Wofford. He played all first base this year at Iowa. And was really good there. You know, I think he only played four or five games at Wofford at first base. They played him at first base all year this year and was really good with the glove at first. So he does have that going for him that he can play a couple of positions. And the other thing that stands out that's not an on-field thing, he came to Iowa and was a team captain after being there for a semester, which is a testament to the character that he has as a person. So I really like Brendan DeRiggi as a player. I just think it's unfortunate for him in the draft, in terms of the draft where he is out of college eligibility. So he's kind of at the mercy of where teams want to go with him. I think he's a day three guy as well, but four guys for the Hawkeyes and four really good players that are going to get drafted at some point over the 3 days.
Kyle Huseman joining us here at 3:48 Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Looking forward to next year, comings and goings so far. I think one obvious major departure from the Iowa baseball program, but so far the portal, Rick Keller has brought in, has done very well as far as the portal is concerned, and Iowa's got a terrific nucleus coming back. In fact, I know that you tweeted out as well, that Patrick Ebert, they way too early selections for Omaha next year. He's got Iowa going among his eight, and that in a quarter will buy you a cup of coffee in the old days. But still, it's nice to have that publicity out there. But so far, Rick Keller's done pretty well.
Yeah, I think when you talk about the transfer portal, I think he's done a good job of going and getting pieces that they felt like they needed. In terms of departures, Sam Honar leaves for Maryland. It was kind of a situation where the scholarship money was going to run out for Sam. They were going to try to find a way to get him, whether it was NIL money or something of that. And the opportunity came for him to go to Maryland and get some money there. And he just decided to go. So there's nothing you can really do about that. They tried what they could. But other than that, you know, they brought in a lot of pitchers. You know, there were a couple of guys that committed last fall. Sam Hart out of Indian Hills was a really good pitcher for them this year. Gannon Archer out of Kirkwood, he committed as well last fall, so they'll be coming in. The guys they've added after the season, some guys that are talented. You know, Brant Hogue's a guy that pitched really good at Iowa Western, went to Oklahoma State this year and unfortunately had to get elbow surgery. He's looking to be back in that January-February time right before the season starts. They bring in Reese Buter from Dallas Baptist, another guy that had elbow surgery, was really good at Kirkwood. This is his first year back at Dallas Baptist, appeared in some games there. Both really talented guys, showed that they can do it at a JUCO level. You hope that you get him in with Sean McGrath for the full offseason and can really work with them. You know, it's going to be harder for Hogue because he's injured right now, rehabbing back. But Reese Buter's a guy that has a lot of talent. They brought in Anthony Watts from Creighton, who was a true freshman there at Creighton this year, started 8 games. He's got a lot of talent as well. It's just a matter of kind of similar to a lot of freshmen where, you know, it's good sometimes and it's not good at times. It's, again, just trying to work out the consistency with them. But all three of those guys, really good additions to me. I think they can all, you know, provide some help this year in the bullpen or maybe even a starting spot. If that potential, if they can really make some strides over the offseason. And then the other addition was Utah catcher Davis Kopp. Interesting to see that addition because of Cade Moss starting basically every game at catcher this year. I personally believe that they're looking at Kopp to potentially play first base. He played there a little bit at Utah, maybe be a DH at times. So I could see him also spelling, you know, Cade Moss during a midweek game. So there's going to be some different things they do with him, I believe. But I think they've done a really good job in the transfer portal, going and getting pitchers where they feel like they need to fill some spots in the bullpen. But like you mentioned, with the way too early projections, this team has really talented pitching staff. When you look at Marcus Morgan and Brody Brecht and Kincaid Overmuller make a similar jump to those two, as those two did coming into their sophomore years. There's a lot coming back in the field as well. I mean, Sam Honar and Brendan DeRiggi are the only two starters leaving from the field. So, you know, when you look at it right here before the fall, it's a team that if it comes together could be very good and, you know, similar to this year, maybe even better if the pitching staff comes together the way the talent level is. There's a lot of work to do, obviously, and the coaching staff will do that in this fall and this winter. But there's definitely a lot to be excited about going into the fall.
Kyle, I'm interested to see how the Riley kid out of Cedar Rapids, Washington does, where he fits in. Had a terrific career at Eastern Illinois.
I have not seen anything in terms of him. I know he visited. I have not seen anything in terms of him committing. I could be wrong unless I missed something.
I could be wrong as well.
I know he took a visit to Iowa out of the transfer portal. I don't know. I don't believe he is committed. I don't see anything on his Twitter right now. So yeah, they could still be looking for some guys out of the transfer portal as well. Lincoln Riley, as I mentioned, did make a visit to Iowa. They could potentially not be done the transfer portal as well. It'll be interesting to see. I know the transfer portal closes in about 7 days. So the real interesting thing that I'm looking at is what guys are potentially still leaving from Iowa. Because when you bring in, you know, a whole freshman class and you bring in, you know, 6 transfers. Some guys are going to have to leave. So I still think that over the next week, we're probably going to see a few names enter the transfer portal. But that's kind of what I'm watching right now is do they add another guy or two who leaves? So there's still going to be some roster fluctuation until before we get to that fall session of practice.
Before we let you go, is there anything that Caitlin Clark can't do?
I don't believe so. You know, I knew she liked golf. I knew she plays a decent amount of golf. I did not know that she was going to be able to be, I think it said like +4 through 6 holes yesterday. That's pretty solid for a course that is set to have a PGA Tour event played the next day. So, yeah, I just, does something, it seems like she's pretty good at it. And I know she had a really fun time with Zach Johnson yesterday. It was really cool that they got to do that.
Yeah, and cool that we found out that Zach used to suit up against the Drake women's basketball team in practices to go up against them. We learned that yesterday from Jan Jensen.
Yeah, I did see that as well. That's funny. That not only is Zach Johnson a big Iowa fan, but he has that connection to Lisa and Jan and Jenny Fitzgerald when they were back at Drake as well. And I know Jan was raving about Zach Johnson, you know, from back then to all the way till now about, you know, what he's done to be supportive of their program. So, yeah, it was just a really cool event that they were able to do that yesterday, and those two were able to play together. And I know they were both very excited to play with each other. It wasn't just Caitlin being excited to play with Zach. I know Zach was very excited to play with Caitlin. So, yeah, all around just a really cool thing that they got to do yesterday.
A lot of fun with that. Hey, Kyle, have a great rest of the summer. We'll talk again soon, and thanks for the update. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
You bet. Kyle Huseman joining us here on the Gym Class, a Thursday edition here on KGYM. Take a break, come back, and wrap things up, and we'll do that when we return.
Are you working way too hard for way too little? There's never been a better time to consider a career in IT. You could enjoy a recession-resistant career in a rewarding field with plenty of growth opportunities and often flexible work environments. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You can start your new career in months, not years. Take classes online or on campus, and financial aid is available to qualified students, including the GI Bill. Now's the time. Go to mycomputercareer.edu.
When you can find everything you need at prices you can afford, that's totally Target. It's that feeling when quality Good and Gather ingredients on the barbecue bring family around the table. Or when favorite day after practice snacks let you celebrate the whole team for less. It's when saving more on Up and Up sunscreen means more fun in the sun. And when Target Circle Rewards program gives you more perks on what you buy most and is always free to join, that's totally Target.
Back to wrap things up here in the Gym Class on KGYM. Thanks for joining us here on this Thursday. Tomorrow we'll take a look at round two of the John Deere Classic, look ahead to the weekend in sports. And our Friday topic is back tomorrow, and we are going to talk about underrated and underappreciated Iowa State football players coming up on a Friday edition of the Gym Class. Looking forward to that. Going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk about former Cyclones tomorrow. Here on the program. Got a few people on the text line, Mark, saying that that Lincoln Riley did commit, although I did not see it on the Twitter account as well, but maybe they got inside information.
Well, I thought so too, but Kyle Huseman,
he's a good guy.
Is to be trusted.
Yes, so we'll find out soon enough if that is the case or not the case out there. Jonas Blixt still leads at the TPC Deer Run as he had a 9-under par 62 today. Cubs tied it up in the top of the eighth inning, but now the Brewers have taken the lead, I see, in the bottom of the eighth inning on a Caratini home run to right field. So Milwaukee leading 6-5 over the Chicago Cubs. And that is one of the games going on in Major League Baseball here this afternoon. And, yeah, looking forward to watching a little U.S. Women's Open coming up a little bit later on. See, watch Rose Zhang. What a terrific, terrific talent this young lady is. She is the next superstar as far as golf is concerned. And I think you can say all of golf because she is that good. And we'll see her tee off coming up here in just a little bit. But Mark, thanks. Isaac, thanks. How was the pie? Good? Good pie?
I did not go have any. I had to go talk to Loretta about something.
Oh,
real quick.
Man. I thought you were getting some pie.
I'll get some before I leave here.
All right. Very good. I'll hold you to that.
Sounds good.
Hold you to that. Todd Brommelkamp show coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. And we'll be back with you tomorrow with another edition of the Gym Class starting off at 3 o'clock. Of course, Gym Class presented by Dupaco Community Credit Union. Mark, have a great night.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow, Scott.
You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
It's Wrangler season out there. T-shirt days, denim jacket nights. A pair of broken-in jeans you could live in. Open roads, endless horizons, no destination.